welcome to the Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Dana Carmont. Now, you are Maltese, Australian.
Yes.
And today you're going to tell us all about Australia.
Yes.
And maybe we'll sort of see some similarities and some differences. And I'm sort of interested to talk to you about Australia because we assume it's like England.
Yes.
Because you speak the similar language.
Very similar.
But obviously because the climate's different and different seasons and things. You celebrate things at a different time, you know, your Christmas is sunny and that kind of stuff. So I wanted to know how that affects the traditions and etiquette. So tell me, you grew up in Australia. So whereabouts did you grow up?
I did. I grew up in Sydney, Australia, in a place called Surry Hills. And it was, back in those days, a real scummy area to live in.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We were very close to Redfern and Darlinghurst. Redfern, where all most of the Aboriginals used to congregate and live in the housing area. Darlinghurst was known as the gay area. And then there was also King's Cross, which was the underbelly area. So it was quite an interesting place where I lived.
So you had at least a sort of a wide and varied upbringing.
Definitely.
So what do Aussie kids do when they hang out?
Well, I'm going to go back into my era. Mm-hmm. Back in, we used to ride our bikes. We used to go up to a place in Surry Hills called Moore Park Recreation Centre, where we used to go up and play chess, basketball, cricket, you name it. Anything outdoors we did, because Aussie kids love to be outdoors. We also used to have a real widespread of friends too, from Greek friends to Italian, Chinese. You know, we had a real community of a widespread
nationalities. So you get lots of different sort of tastes of community and cultures and things as well.
Exactly.
But then the Australian thing sort of overrides that. You all end up doing
Australian things. Exactly. And one of those things, I guess, and everyone always asks me about, are our barbecues.
So tell me.
Yes. So Sunday used to be our Barbie day. Mm-hmm. So the family would get together on a Sunday for a Barbie or a roast. We used to do things like that, which is very Australian. So, you know, everyone would bring their sausages and meat and a salad and some prawns and some, you know, anything you could chuck on the Barbie, you could do. Like even mushrooms and onions. Onions was huge on the Barbie.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, huh. Onions. And we'd all get together in a small backyard and have a really wonderful time.
And just like, can people just turn up at any point in time? Or would you say, no, Barbie hits at one, or do you do the, you know, because it has to heat up and all of that stuff?
No, you'd say, you know, say you 12 o'clock start Barbie, then people would bring their own plate. Or back in those days, it wasn't so much wine. It was more spirits.
Okay.
And a beer. You know, a slab of beer, bring a slab of VB.
Slab?
Like, so a slab would be like a 24...
cans or bottles.
Cans. Like more like a throwback stuff they used to have, like, you know, the 250 mils or 500 mils. Yeah, so, you know, you bring them from the bottle shop. We used to have a bottle shop. Actually, we still do, but we never were able to buy our alcohol from supermarkets, which is very unusual, because when we came to Europe, even we're like, oh my God, you sell alcohol in like grocery stores. And
what's that about, licensing or taxes? Or
it's more about the licensing. It was, they're very big on keeping it very discreet from the groceries compared to alcohol. So you would actually have to go to somewhere like a Dan Murphy's or like a little side bottle shop to be able to get your alcohol.
Wow.
And which was really interesting. Well, we just thought it was normal, really, now that I think about it. And then when we came to Europe, we were like, oh my, we're from France. Oh my God, you can buy alcohol in the shopping, like in a
shop. Go to one place and buy all your stuff.
Everything. Yeah.
So all your stuff. Yeah, it's supposed to, don't think about that, but yeah, it's inconvenient, really.
Yeah, very.
So you'd have your Barbies. Uh-huh. What kind of meat is popular?
Oh, it was always steaks and sausages. Mm-hmm. Steaks and sausages were the big thing. Rissoles.
So tell me about rissoles.
Yes, well, rissoles were made from mincemeat, very cheap mincemeat, that would have grated carrot, grated onion, garlic, and then it would be rolled into like a breadcrumb.
Okay.
And then you put them on the Barbie. And then you'd have it with tomato sauce.
Do you know, they sound, the name sounds worse than they are.
Yes.
I'm not going to take that line of thought any further. Yeah. So they're like patties, really.
Basically, yeah. But yeah. They're like big, thick ones. And you can put them into like bread rolls. You have like a bun. Then you have your onion and your, you know, rissole and then some tomato sauce and then yum.
Yum, yum.
Yeah.
Yum. And so that's pretty popular. And do you put any, are there particular other sauces that are common to Australia that would just be found in Australia? Are there things that you miss today?
I'm not really, I'm not a real big sauce person, but I know like mustard, like you, if you have like a sausage sizzle, which was another big thing, a sausage sizzle, and you put it in between a slice of bread and you put your mustard and your tomato sauce and then onions in it.
Ooh,
yeah, that's pretty good. Delicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Barbies were always cooked to like, you know, perfection. Like, you know, when you're having a sausage sizzle, you go, oh, this is going to be the best.
So is it, do they go for the caramelized?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
That's extra flavor.
Exactly.
That's going to be good for you. Yeah. That's going to be good for you. But do you do Barbies for proper big events? Mm-hmm. Would you have a Barbie at your wedding? Would you have a Barbie at Christmas? How?
Definitely Christmas.
Okay.
Christmas, we used to celebrate with a Barbie, or when we have a Barbie as well, there was always seafood involved too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you throw some prawns on or some crab or something. But there was always a Barbie for most occasions. Weddings, it depended what type of wedding you had. If you had an outdoor kind of wedding in a park, you'd have a Barbie.
Yeah.
Which was just predictable because, you know, it was just one of the things you would do. But, you know, there'd be quite a lavish Barbie. She's not just like, you know, your stubby holder and your, you know, pair of shorts and you're cooking Barbie. But it would be like more of a gourmet Barbie.
Okay, so outdoor chefs, the works, and sort of just with the stations rather than...
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, because that's the thing you get. You say Barbie and you just think it's the little coal thing hanging in the back of a park. But they can be quite formal affairs.
Yeah.
So in that, on that vein then, when you are invited to a Barbie, what do you wear?
Very casual.
Very casual.
Super casual. I mean, you could just rock up in a t-shirt and a pair of shorts. Actually, still to this day, funnily enough, I had a few people come in to get some things done at the alteration studio. And this guy was going to a wedding and he brought shorts and a buttoned up t-shirt because that's what we wear. Because the weddings are normally outdoors because it's summertime and it's very low key and no one's dressed up to the nines. It's just a real casual sort of relaxed wedding, most of them. And I was really surprised and I said to him, oh dear, you need to change that attire because we don't wear that here. But very casual, especially at a Barbie. You can just wear a singlet top. Like my dad, I can remember when my dad used to cook the Barbies, he'd wear a pair of stubbies and a Bond singlet.
What's
top
a
and
stubby?
A pair of thongs. A pair of stubbies is Australian made shorts.
Okay.
So I don't know if they're still around, but they used to be very popular. And a Bond singlet. And then you'll get a stubby holder. Now, the stubby holder actually holds the can of beer so that you can keep the coolness of the beer.
So it doesn't get warmed up by your hand.
That's right.
That's absolute genius.
I know.
That should be brought to Malta.
I know.
Yes. That's another job for you.
Exactly.
So there is quite a big Maltese community. Like I said, you were Italians, Greeks, etc. Did you used to live around other Maltese people?
Yes. My mum being Maltese, we had our whole family around us, my nonna, my nonno, my aunties. And then we used to have a community in Surrey Hills where we had a Maltese church and we also had a pastizzi shop too. Very tiny. Yeah. His name was Lenny. And he used to have, like, people would line up to get his frozen ravioli and pastizzi and things like that too. But it, funnily enough too, we also used to bring pastizzi to the barbecues so that people would actually, because my mum being Maltese, she would bring
that would be
them
her thing,
along.
Okay. Yeah. So is there something different?
Yeah.
I was going to say, you didn't barbecue them. That's like sacrilege. Although I've never tried it. Are there foods that you miss from Australia that you don't have today, or is it now it's
yes I love eating Vegemite, which is like one of our main kind of like a peanut butter, but it's a real salty savory spread. I love having that with toast and butter. which was my favorite, especially on crumpets. Delicious. Jam buns. We have amazing bakeries back home in Australia where you get sausage rolls, meat pies, potato pies, like things that you just buy on the side of the road and you just smother it with sauce and just eat them. Yeah. I mean, I don't eat meat anymore. I haven't for 15
potato
years.
Potato pie sounds
but
good.
Yeah. And with peas, like they have a pea pie, potato pie. Yeah. We have a very famous potato pie van in King's Cross, and they have like lineups of people wanting the peas and potato or kidney meat and potato and yeah, lots of different things.
And what are the, is there other sort of street foods? What about sweet stuff? Are they a sweet stuff nation?
Not so much. I mean, I'm not a sweets person.
Anyway, okay.
Yeah, but we do have one of our, what we're known for is our caramel slices. They're pretty good. And there is also chocolate eclairs.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty popular. And also fudge brownies too. Like, oh, the Lamington.
No.
Okay, so the Lamington is a sponge cake. It's cut into a square and then it's covered in chocolate and coconut on the outside. Very delicious.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of our main sort of sweets.
Naughties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get jam in the middle and cream too.
So is this the sort of stuff you would serve at home as well, or are these sort of snacks that you would buy out?
No, these are snacks you'd buy at the bakery.
Okay.
Being our family, we didn't buy a lot of things like that. And I don't think a lot of Australians did. It was like if you were out and about, you go, oh, let's get a cream bun or, oh, let's get, you know, a Lamington and have it at the park or something. Because, I mean, a lot of parks back home too. So, you know, it was always more of a sharing thing rather than just having it at home.
And what's the sort of deal? Because, you know, like, so we have Barbies and stuff and you might say, okay, come at 12.
Mm.
What time would people show up? Or let's not talk about Barbies. Let's talk about if you had to do a formal dinner, a regular dinner. What time would you invite someone-ish? Mm-hmm. And what time would they show up or should they show up?
We would – most things start at 7:30.
Okay.
8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And they will show up at that time. So if you were told the time, you'll come at that time.
Okay.
It's just a bout of respect.
You know? So it's not that you're expected, like, you know, to come half an hour earlier or half an hour later. It's
no.
7
it's
is 7
right on
sort
7.
Of thing. Right, okay.
It's right on 7. And if you are invited to, say, a dinner or if you're invited to – not so much at a restaurant or something like that, but a dinner, you are not expected to, but our one of our things that we do is take a bottle of wine or a loaf of – you know, freshly made bread or something like that, just to say thank you for having us and, you know.
So flowers, anything, chocolates as well, or it's sort of bread
it
and wine are the most?
Mainly wine, like spirits, so that you could all drink at the table, because Aussies are big drinkers. So
really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Very
Didn't
big drinkers,
that.
Yes. Very big.
Very big drinkers.
So we like to make sure everyone else is drinking at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can all have a drink together.
So what's a popular drink there? Is it the gin tonics type of thing or rum?
Yeah, gin tonic, vodka and orange, beer.
Beer.
Men love beer. But I think now it's changed a lot to men like wine as well. Not so much. It never used to be a big wine culture back in Australia, but now it has become very
big. Say the wines are very popular, so that's probably a driver for it. No?
Yeah.
And so do you have similar sorts of events around, say, christenings and any rites of passage for children? Is it along the same format?
Pretty much along the same format. A lot of it's funny because everything is outdoors. Everyone wants to spend that time outdoors. So if you have a christening, you would have it outdoors as well. You know, so you'd have, you know, go to someone's house and be outdoors. Or if you go to a park and you have a barbecue there, outdoors. You would always try and make it outdoors. Like even if you see any videos or anything like that, it's outdoors. Everyone just loves being outdoors in Australia.
So no sofas get sold in Australia?
No, basically not.
You live out there, so you're expected to be outside, enjoy it, quite casual, but there must be a sort of a high-end, formal type of stuff goes on. So
there are formal events that do go on, but then again, it's not the formal dresses that we would wear here.
Okay.
Like you'd wear more like casual slinky, like, you know, a nice satin long dress.
Or, okay.
You know, with little
straps
and things like that. Nothing bouffanty.
Okay.
Something very chic. So it's kind of like basic but chic, but nothing too over the top. It's always the accessories that people sort of...
So it's not like beaded to the floor and frou-frou?
No.
None of that?
No.
No, very simple. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Is that just because you're generally casual people or is it...
Very casual people.
They're going to the beach. Mm-hmm. So, because I heard recently that they tell you off if you're not wearing a long sleeve t-shirt. Rash vests, do they call them?
Okay, so... In Oz, we're really big on sun protection.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when I came here, I was quite shocked. Like, I don't even think there was sunscreen when we first came to Malta, or rash vests. But everyone basically slip, slop, slaps. That's our slogan.
Okay.
They slip, slop, slap. So you slip on your sunscreen. Mm-hmm. Sorry, slip on a top, slap on your sunscreen, and slap on your sunscreen. I can't even remember now. It was so long
slip,
ago.
Slop,
slip,
slap.
Slop, slap.
Yeah.
But you always had to wear something long and a hat.
Okay.
So it's basically ingrained into your brain growing up, especially with the slogans that said slip, slop, slap. You'll see it at the beach, slip, slop, slap. So if you are very beach orientated, you will always have lotion, you know, the sunscreen. You would have a hat and you would have a long t-shirt.
So you'd be covered.
Completely covered because there's a lot of skin cancer. Because of the hot sun and people are in the water all the time, you know, surfing, kayaking, outdoorsy stuff. So the sun is
as bad, if not worse, on the water than it is.
Exactly. And a lot of people are fair. They're not, you know, don't have the European skin. So it's quite dangerous.
Because, I was like, oh, wow, you know, you'd like don't need to do sit-ups.
Not a summertime.
If I get to wear a great big t-shirt over my bikini. It's going to be the place for me, I tell you. No, but on a, you know, it is serious. It is that you do get into trouble, apparently. They come and...
Yeah, it's warden. Pretty... and it's pretty common that if you have grown up in Australia, you will have that in your bag. Yeah, it's common. Normal.
So you don't just think, oh, I'm just going to jump out here and go for... You wouldn't, unless you're covered up.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, you're in for a real treat with, like, sunburn. I mean, I get so... blown away, even in Europe, just in general. People just roaming around with nothing on, not even sunscreen. I'm like, oh my God, that person's going to get so sunburned. You
know? Does it mean you will have less wrinkles when you're older?
I don't know about that, but it's just one of these. I think it's just less
skin cancer. No, it's important. Obviously, it is. Very important. So this is kids all the way up. So even through school trips, everything, you're slip, slap, slopped.
Slip, slop, slap.
Slip, slop, slap.
Yeah.
There's actually a way to it. Okay, so through the kids. Do they have, like, summer camps and stuff like that? Or is it because everyone's outdoors and you all live in close proximity, you don't have that kind of thing?
You have summer camps at school.
Mm.
So, yeah, school does summer camps. You get to go on camp, I think it's once a year. And you normally go in the wintertime, though. So it's not usually summer camp. It's like, you know, just a camp that you
so
go when, on.
So your school year is still September to July-ish?
No, we have different breaks. We have 2 weeks for the beginning of term. So we have four terms.
Okay.
Term one, you have 2 weeks. Term two is 2 weeks, term three. And then the fourth term, which is November, December, is 6 weeks.
Ah.
Yeah.
So your hot season is the our winter time.
Yes.
So the December time frame. Yes. And then your summer season is there. So your longest break is in your hotter season as well still. Okay.
6 weeks, yeah.
And, yeah, that must be quite confusing if you have to go off to universities and things and you're finishing school at a different time to everybody else.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's quite weird. Like even when when kids come to visit, like my kids come to visit and they finished school now, but we have to wait till they finish school and then come because it's quite a big thing that you just can't leave school.
Yeah.
Even when they're in, you know, secondary school. Exactly. Yeah, you got to finish to that term and then.
So you sort of start, what, February time?
I think it's January.
And then finish at Christmas, essentially.
Yes. Yeah. So you have, now they're on break for school holidays now.
Mm-hmm. But there's winter in the summer.
Yeah.
In the European summer, it's winter in Australia.
Yes. And then we're back at school. Mm-hmm. And then they're back at school for like maybe 6 weeks. And then we have the 6 weeks holidays. So it's only short terms.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What's the winter like? What happens then if you can't go outside and do your barbecues?
The winter isn't really that
Different?
Cold. Yeah, it's not, okay. it's not as cold as here, depending where you live.
Mm-hmm.
If you live up north, it's still really lovely. So uh-huh. you can still have your barbies all year round if you wanted to. Sydney, we would have barbecues sometimes. It depended if the sun was out, you'd have a barbie. Otherwise, it's just pretty much at home and you start cooking soups. You know, you have soups.
To pretend it's cold.
Yeah, and roasts and things like that.
Yeah.
But then if you're living in Melbourne, further down, you're not having no Barbie.
No, it's cold there,
it's
yeah?
Cold.
It's cold. So they have proper seasons, for want of a better term.
Yeah.
So they're, and obviously Australia's huge.
Yes.
Huge.
Yes.
So you have to take into account where you're going.
Exactly.
Do things differ outside of the climate? Do the traditions differ, or is it generally wherever you go in Australia, it is going to be this level of casual and comfortable? Or is it, oh, no, if you're over here, that's where they're more formal, or if you're over here, that's where they're even more casual?
Yes, it's different in different states, for mm-hmm. sure. And also culture branding too. So, like, Melbourne's very arty-farty. So it's,
okay.
they're very, with their clothing, it's more about recycled, upcycled, you know, that type of thing. Then you go into Sydney and then you've got, it's all about brands.
Okay.
You know, like the latest Sassam Bide or blah, blah, blah. And
yeah,
that,
okay.
You know, the Range
Big
Rover.
City,
yeah. And then you go more up north to Queensland. And they're very relaxed. It's always like swimwear all year round. They, you know, very cash, board shorts, T-shirts, that sort of stuff. So it does sort of change in different areas, like
around.
Different states.
Yeah, because it's so huge. You sort of, you can't imagine it. Because even you have, I don't know how many time zones, but flying in between territories is very normal.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like you get on a train, but you get on a plane.
Exactly.
Time saving.
Yes.
What are other notable things that happen in Australia? What are the big things like? Is it rugby? Is it cricket? Is it both?
Yes, there's rugby, which is very big. AFL, which is a different football to rugby. Now, I'm not a sports person, but I'm just telling you from what I know from when my kids were growing up and, you know, Tez loves his sport. Cricket, always huge.
Uh-huh.
It's been huge for decades and decades and decades.
Are these things family affairs or is it the guys go?
It's become family affairs now. Mm-hmm. Like it's always been a boy thing. Like all the guys love to get together for rugby. The girls would sort of get together for, you know, have a drink in the park or, you know, do something girly. But it's always been a real man sport
thing.
Yeah. So you know that your man's going to go off and watch the sport somewhere.
And you just leave him to it. And is that all year as well? Or is there a time when there's
there's a break. So you'll have the cricket, I think cricket, and then there's the rugby, and then there's AFL. So that's sort of
a third of the year each.
Yeah, I think that's
something like that.
From what I know.
And
yeah.
Christmas, because I'm obsessed with Christmas.
Yes.
Christmas in the heat.
Mm-hmm.
So do you do like a turkey barbecue?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have presents? Do you have Santa Claus? I mean,
yes,
how
yes,
does
we
it
have
work?
Everything.
Yeah?
We have everything that is normal for Christmas, except we don't have the cold or snow. For us, is normal. It's like, why would you have snow on Christmas? You know, like
so you don't
why
send
is it so cold.
You don't
Christmas?
Send cards with snow on them and reindeer and stuff. No.
But Christmases have always been a big celebration of families getting together, friends, close friends getting together for a barbie. Or another big thing that used to be quite big is you go to a hotel and get like the smorgasbord thing.
Okay.
And they were mainly though for a lot of the families that were broken families, you know, so you get together with the other broken families and sort of get together and have something together, or the boys would, you know, the dads would organize something for the boys to come over for Christmas. So there's always something going on at Christmas. New Year's is massive in Australia. So obviously we have the Harbour Bridge that gets lit up and it's a massive celebration that everyone loves. And then in different states are different things as well. Like people sort of go to their town to watch the fireworks that go on for New Year's as well. So everyone has something going on in New Year's in different states.
Okay. Yeah. And you talked about the gay community. So it's all, it's open. There's no fear to be had if you're gay in Australia. You're just
not at all. No, I mean, time's progressed, obviously. Mm-hmm. We have the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras that we've had since I can remember, since I was a toddler. And I used to go up and watch that when I was really young. And I used to sit there on a milk crate, and there'd be like maybe another 100 people watching the actual parade that would start from Darlinghurst all the way up until it got to Moore Park, the Moore Park field where they go and party afterwards. But they would always have tremendous, amazing outfits, and that's what I used to love, like the glitz.
Probably where you got your inspiration from for many of your stage costumes.
Most of it. And it was it was always such a big thing to be had. It went on for like 2 or 3 days. The Saturday was the actual Mardi Gras.
And just my last question, which is probably a bit sort of stupid, but do people watch Neighbours in Australia?
Yes. If you didn't watch Neighbours, it's like you just weren't Australian.
I'm happy to hear that, because I didn't want to think that it was,
It was either Neighbours or Home and Away.
You could watch both in England, because they had like at different times of day.
Exactly. So you would have Home and Away that started earlier, and then Neighbours would start 7 o'clock on the dot. So Home and Away would be on at 6:30, and then you switch over to Neighbours at 7.
Fantastic. Love it. Love it. And then as soon as that's finished, outside, Barbie on.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm liking the sound of this. I've missed a bit, obviously. I need to catch up on the storylines. But yeah, it's been a real giggle and really fun talking to you. Thank you so much for joining me on this week's Good Manners Map, telling me all about life in Australia.
Thank you, Monique. Thank you for inviting me.